week, of course, is Parshas Tazria and Metzora, but it's a lot to tackle all at once, so we'll divide it up. Today we'll learn the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Parshas Tazria, and Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, tomorrow we'll learn the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Parshas Metzora. Okay? So, when you get to Shul this Shabbos, look forward to Tazria and Metzora. Double your pleasure, double your fun. Okay, so the Parsha begins, Vayadabra Hashem al Moshe Leimor. The Parsha begins, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Dabra al Bnei Yisrael Leimor, Isha ki Sazria v'yolda Zachar. When a woman gives birth to a male child, V'tama shiv as yamim ki mei nidas divosa titma, she will be impure for 7 days. What'd you say?
How do you pronounce that word?
Divosa. And on the eighth day, that Jewish baby male shall be circumcised. And then she counts an additional 33 days of Dmei Tahara, where she continues to see blood, but the blood does not make her tame. It doesn't prohibit her from her husband. Then she's tame for 2 weeks, followed by a period of 66 days. And there are karbanos, v'chulu, v'chulu. Okay, I want to start in the middle of the first piece. It looks like a long piece. I'm not sure exactly how to guide you, but what we're looking for is where he says, "Ovid Yirma Zakosav Al Knesses Yisrael." On page Samach Gimel. Where is it? You see it?
Yeah, it's in gold.
Where?
Gold on the second page.
First column.
Where do we say? Oh, your most.
Yeah, where do you say it?
On the right column and on the left.
No.
That's what Sad Hakika is, not on Sad.
Here, in the left column, 10 lines down. The line that begins, Mitam Hanizkar. Okay, page Samach Gimel. Page Samach Gimel, the left column. The line that begins, Mitam Hanizkar, about 7-8 lines down.
Are there any quotes on that thing?
Right after Mishle.
Yeah, right after Mishle Yud. Okay. Od Yirmas HaKosuv Al Knesses Yisrael. First he explains, in the way of Halacha, why specifically Leimor here, Leimor to who? Leimor to women, tell women that this mitzvah is especially for them. And tell Jews that this mitzvah is especially for them. And then he has a whole arichus, which we'll talk about when you get married, about proper thoughts that a person should have when they're trying to bring children into this world, and the impact that it has on the neshama, on the quality of the soul. And then he talks about why women might hesitate to get married, because they say, after all, in some strange and unusual kind of way, at least on a revealed level, it's very strange. The mitzvah of Pur Ravu is for a man. Which some women take offense to. What do you mean? I carry the baby for 9 months and you get the mitzvah. So a woman might hesitate to marry, and yet if she marries to produce children for the greater good of humanity and for Klal Yisrael, then that's a holy thing and she gets great reward. But then after he says all that, he says, perhaps, B'derech Remez, the psukim are talking about Klal Yisrael. So let's read from that section. Od Yirma Zakosav Al Knesses Yisrael. Perhaps the pasuk is referring to Bnei Yisrael as the Isha. We are the Isha, and Hashem is our husband. And therefore, says the Pasuk, Asher Matzinu Shenikreis Isha B'Divrei Nevi'im, and we find at times that the Jewish people are referred to as the wife, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Navi Yeshaya says in Perek Nun Dalet, Ki Vo Alayich Osayich, Uksiv Ve'eshas Ne'urim, Uksiv Ve'eras Tichli Ve'gomer, all these psukim indicating the marriage and the intimate relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Yeshaya Parag Nun, Eza Sefer Krisus. The psukim does describe how Hashem, would He divorce us, would He never divorce us? Va'alea Omer HaKosav Isha Kisazriya. So about this woman, namely Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, the Pasuk says, Isha Kisazriya V'yalda Zachar. Perish Hazras Mitzvah Sumaisim Tovim. Isha, a Jew, Klal Yisrael, Kisazria, when they plant what? When they produce what? When they produce mitzvos umaisim tovim, like the Pasuk says in Hosea, Ziru lachem litzdaka. When a Jew does a mitzvah, he's planting a seed. And hopefully mitzvah goreres mitzvah, the same way you plant the seed and it produces a tree and it produces fruit and it produces more seeds. So hopefully when you plant the mitzvah, it produces more mitzvos. Zero lachem litztaka. So isha ki sazriya v'yald the zachar. What does it mean v'yald the zachar? Perish. Tiyeh holadasa zachar. When a Jew does a mitzvah, that which is born from it should be a zachar. Should be masculine. What does that mean? Perish. Da ki bechinas hazachar hu bechina elyona mi bechinas hanakeva. As we've seen several times, the concept of zachar in the keva is the concept of chesed and din, is the concept of that which is dominant and that which is secondary. And therefore, when you do a mitzvah, make sure your mitzvah is zachar. Make sure your mitzvah is zachar. What does that mean? Make sure that you do your mitzvah in the best possible way. Make sure your mitzvah is strong. Make sure your mitzvah has the upper hand. Men are genetically stronger than women. That doesn't mean that there aren't some women who are stronger than men. But bederech klal, men are physically stronger than women. And men and women play different roles. It's not a question of better. It's a question of understanding one's role. And in times of Mashiach, there's going to be a realignment of the sun and the moon. But right now, the sun is the one that produces the light, and the moon reflects that light. So therefore, Isha ki sazriya, Isha, when Klal Yisrael does a mitzvah, when a Jew does a mitzvah, try to do so in a way of great strength. Try to do so in the most elevated possible way. V'atorah miyacheses b'chinas al yonos b'chinas azachar. And therefore, the Torah refers to the bechina elyona, the higher madriga, in the language of zachar. Vodia kasev kiim kinesis Yisrael tazria vaday shetoler hadragos elyonos isha ki sazria v'yel de zachar. The way he's reading it is the following: he's saying when a Jew does a mitzvah, when kinesis Yisrael is tazria, when a Jew does a mitzvah, then vaday shetoler hadragos elyonos, then certainly will achieve great levels. Right? Meaning the pasuk he's saying is speaking to the greatness of Klal Yisrael and how the Jewish people are going to make a difference in the world. If we're going to do something in the world, it's going to have a major impact. And history has proven that it does. Both in a revealed sense, and halachas kam v'kam, in a concealed sense. So now, says the Rachaim HaKadosh, let's contrast the efforts we've been making since we became Klal Yisrael and how that's going to impact the final redemption, versus Klal Yisrael when we left Mitzrayim and we didn't have much to offer. We had not yet accomplished very much. He says, "V'hu ma'amarim zal." This is what's perhaps alluded to in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in the Medrash Shemos Rabbah. Otzem haflagos haplaos asher yafli Hashem bebias hagoel im Yisrael. Yizkol yidei ma'isim akshir. With this we understand the great wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to perform for the Jewish people if we're worthy to bring about redemption through our efforts. Meaning we have to believe, and that's what the pasuk is kind of saying, fact, Isha ki sazriya v'yal de zachar, that the status quo of Isha ki sazriya, when a Jew does a mitzvah, the status quo is it has a major impact in the world. And that's what Chazal are promising us in the Gemara and the Medrash, that if we work hard and do our part, we'll see wondrous things by the final redemption. V'yichavin lahavdil bein ha-ge'ula ha-mechukes le-ge'ula sha'avra sha-mitzrayim. Shayu Yisrael Eirum Ve'eria. And what we're contrasting here is the final redemption that we're looking forward to compared to the Geula from Mitzrayim, where we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, based on a pasuk in Navi, that we were Eirum Ve'eria, we were naked and bare, we had nothing. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim because He was nice to us, He liked us, it was chesed. But the final redemption we're trying to earn. So we say to ourselves, Isha Ki Sazria, Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, the wife of the beloved wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go out and plant greatness in the world. And it'll be Yalda Zachar. It'll have a major hashpa in the world. And then you'll be zochet to see unbelievable miracles even greater than the wonders you saw when you left Mitzrayim. Gam amra akos of goy mikar of goy. When we left Mitzrayim, we were extracted from Mitzrayim. We weren't that different from Mitzrayim. Look at the Jewish people in the world today versus the rest of the world. Again, obviously, Nebuch, there are some Jews who try to blend in. But even there, you can't really blend in. But at the point we left Mitzrayim, we were almost indistinguishable from the nations of the world. From our oppressor, from the Egyptians. We had to be extracted, goy mikar of goy. We were on the inside track of Mitzrayim. Hashem had to pluck us out of Mitzrayim. We're on the 49th level of Tumah. Now, hopefully, we've distinguished ourselves in the world. and separated ourselves from the nations of the world. That original geula didn't last. Yes, 480 years after the time, we'd build the Beis HaMikdash, but that would be destroyed. We would bounce back and build another Beis HaMikdash, and that would be destroyed. And now we're sitting here, 1900 plus years, waiting for the final geula. But we need to do more, is what he's saying. V'haya mashahaya v'ein tova zov v'chinas zachar. We have yet to achieve v'chinas zachar. Right? We have yet to achieve v'chinas zachar. That's what it says. That's what it says, right? Instead of shira chadasha, in the future we long for a shir chadash. Shir chadash, lashon zachar, as opposed to shira chadasha. Shira chadash, in the keva means the woman has the ability to produce something else. A woman can produce a child. So therefore, Shira Chadasha, when we sing a song of praise with the language of Shira Chadasha, that means we look forward to something further being born down the line. Shir Chadash, Zachar, means we've reached the highest level and there's nothing else that's coming afterwards. So that's what we're striving for. He says we have yet to attain this level of Zachar. Aval ha-ge'ula ha-asida litzad sh'al koponim tiyeh be'amtzos chos Yisrael. Our Chaim HaKadosh with great confidence in Klal Yisrael, even though in the past we needed a lot of help along the way and our efforts didn't last, but the final redemption is going to be Isha Kisazria V'yel de Zachar, that we're going to attain that level of Zachar, right? That absolute Madrega of Zachar. Lu Yihyeh Shaloyu Re'uyim Afal Pichin B'amtzos Orach HaGolos V'Yisak HaTorah. Even if we are not worthy, he says, he's being realistic. He's saying, maybe you'll look at the world and say, we're not so much better than they are. So he says, well, what merits do we have? Whatever amount of Torah we've done, it's a long time. Again, it adds up. Even if your Torah is not on such a high level. Right? But over time, it's compounded and it adds up. And furthermore, he says, the Orach HaGolos, the length of the Golos, also counts in our credit. So again, we're working towards the final redemption. And it's going to be something that we earn, either through the lengthening of the Galus and the suffering of Galus, or through the Torah that we study, and holding on to Torah to whatever degree we can, like the Pasuk says, Lo si shachach mi pizaro, to not forget the Torah, Al koponim tiyeh ha-geula b'bechina zachar v'amdala netzach. And we can hope for that final redemption, which will not be a temporary redemption, but will be a permanent redemption. And he says, now we understand the next part of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when a woman gives birth to a Zachar, Vitama Shivas Yamim, she will be Tame for 7 days. So the way that he reads it, Bederach Remez, Kan Ramuz Tikun Asher Yaseh Hashem Lahasig Bechinas Zachar. He reads it a little bit out of order, because in the Pasuk, after she gives birth to a male child, then she undergoes 7 days of Tama. But he's reading it, the Rechaim HaKadosh is reading it, that how did we achieve producing a Zachar? How did we achieve the ultimate redemption? V'tama shivas yam. That we went through 7 days of Tumah. We endured 7 days of Tumah. What does that mean? He says, ki zayin shanim yachonein b'chevle ha-mashiach. He says, we know that there's going to be a 7-year process of redemption, the Chazal described. The chevle mashiach. Like Gemara says in Sanhedrin, shavua sheben David ba v'chulu, liyasam ulezakaka. That in the time that David is going to come, there's going to be a 7-year cycle of suffering and purification. That through our suffering we will be purified. V'hu omro v'tama. And that's the tuma that's being described here, the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Yiches ha-yisr lebechinas ha-tuma. Ki hu ha-tamei hu ha-miyaser. V'omr zayin yamim pei resheva shanim. In 7 days here alludes to 7 years. Since when does a day mean a year? So he says, I'll show you a mefurish pasuk in Chumash, where it sounds like it's talking about a day and it's talking about a year. Take a look back in Bereishis Chaf Dalet. Teishiv hanara itanu yamim o asur. Let Rivka stay with us for days or for 10. What does that mean? Yamim shana. The Gemara Darshins, yamim, they said, give us a year. Let Rivka stay for a year. Okay? So sometimes, even though it's talking about a day, it's really talking about a period of days, which we would call a year. So 7 days here can be synonymous with the 7-year cycle that will precede Mashiach. And then, of course, how does the pasuk end on such a beautiful note? Uveyom Hashmini Yimol Besar Laso. After 7 years of suffering, after the difficulties of the Chevli Mashiach, and finally Mashiach arrives, we're going to have Bris Milah. Which type of Bris Milah? Yimol Basar Arlasa, he says, V'yom HaShmini, Perisha Acher Avur Zayin Shonim Bashalas Yom HaShmini, when we finally arrive on that eighth day, Yimol Basar Arlasa, Ki Oz Ya'avir Hashem Bechinas Ha'arla Me'a'olam, Hashem will remove, so to speak, the metaphorical foreskin of the world, the blockage of the world, the imperfection of the world. Ves ruach atuma avir min haaretz, like the pasuk says in Zechariah, I'll wipe away all of the tumah of the world. Va'oz yiyah b'shan ha'ches v'yadua hu b'chinas ha'arla shehiya klipa. Hashem will remove all negativity that prevents His presence from being revealed in the world. Okay, questions or comments? Yes.
Mashbia last night in Neish Kodesh was telling us about how Hashem makes a decree in the world that sometimes the way we could bring that decree faster to Dor Mitzvahs and Amas and Tovim, so similar to space. And he's saying that when we do like Word of Zohar, that's what we'll get, Hashem in the same way that when we actually do something and I don't say initiate it, but then it brings it down quicker.
Okay. That's what we're hoping for. But we should lead the way. We shouldn't be passive in the process. Yeah, we should be proactive in doing mitzvahs in such a way that we're going to bring the gula. Good. Yeah.
If you're referring to a part-time, do we actively bring the gula in your time, but happy shana?
Maybe.
I thought I might be wrong. I think like when she did Shia, like he does better.
Both true.
You tied it to Schroeder.
Uveyom Ashmini. He tied it to what?
Schroeder talks about the 7 days of creation, 3 years.
Right. Okay, good. Uveyom Ashmini Yimol Basar Arlasa, Pasuk Gimel. So he has a very interesting comment here. It's a good principle to understand in general. The Rishonim spoke about it as well. And the question is, why is Bris Mila mentioned over here? Where's the first time we encounter Bris Mila in the Torah? Avram Avinu. So the Rechaim HaKadosh asks, V'yom HaShmini Tzarech Ledas. We need to understand, Lama Hot Tzarech Letzavos Lezeh, V'alo Kvar Amra HaTorah Parshas Lech Lecha Kol Pratei Dina Mila. Didn't we already learn about Bris Mila and Parshas Lech Lecha? Why is the Torah once again, we understand the child's being born, it's a male child, this child will need a Bris Mila, we get that. But why here? Why dafka here? Are we reviewing these halachos amila, which have already been presented in the Torah? And if you'll tell me that it says uvayom hashmini to teach us that mila is done by day and not by night, or gam lo hodia afilu b'shabbos, or maybe it's telling us you do it on the eighth day, even if the eighth day is Shabbos, as the Gemara darshins, as the Medrash darshins, uvayom afilu b'shabbos. So kasha. So I still have a question. Lama lo rasham Hashem pratei dinim elu sham b'parshas mila shenichlu b'parshas lech lecha. If you want to tell me, uvayom hashmini teaches me dafka bayom, uvayom hashmini even if the eighth day is Shabbos. So put all that back in parshas lech lecha. Why teach new dinim about bris mila here in parshas shmini? Why is the Torah scattered in this way? Lulai. So perhaps. Kilo kava Hashem, prad zeh b'mitzvos Avram. It could be that Hashem did not mention this point, especially the point about Mila being docha Shabbos by Avram. Because what mistake might you make? If I'm introduced to the concept that Mila overrides Shabbos by Avram, what might you think? You might think that only for Avram does Mila override Shabbos, but not for Jews after the Torah has been given and there's a concept of Shabbos. Shelo yachshuv adam ki lo hekel Hashem Shabbos legavi mila el ala avos. Shelo kivlu atorah v'chumras Shabbos. Don't make the mistake to think, right? Meaning, a person would have made the mistake to think that maybe only the avos who aren't commanded in Shabbos, who are maybe keeping Shabbos of their own free will. So for the avos, mila is docha Shabbos. Aval Yisrael, but maybe for a regular Jew, shenitztavu me Hashem. Once we already have a command of Mechaleleha Mos Yumas, that one who violates Shabbos will be put to death, you might think the rules change. You might think at that point, Lo Yitzcha Shabbos. For people like ourselves, in our times, we no longer say Mila overrides Shabbos. Maybe that was only prior to Kabbalah Sator. Vagam Shamru Chazal, and even though the Gemara says in Chulin, Shah Mitzvah B'Sinai Nemra, Elishanichlav Makoma, in truth, when was Mila given to Klal Yisrael? Why do we have Bris Mila today? Not because Hashem told Avram to give a Bris Mila. Why do we do Bris Mila today? Because God told us at our Sinai that there's a mitzvah called Mila. So the Gemara says in Chulin on Daf Kuf. Anyone know what the context is over there? Anyone know the seventh parak of Chulin? The seventh parak of Chulin is called Parak Gid Hanasha. The context is Gid Hanasha. Why don't we eat the Gid Hanasha? Why don't we eat the sciatic nerves? I say because Yaakov got into a fight with a malach. Not true. We don't eat the Gid Hanasha because Hashem said so. When did God say so? At our Sinai. Why does the Torah introduce us to it back by Yaakov's fight against the Malach in Parshas Vayishlach? To give us a little bit of a context and understanding of the mitzvah. So our Bris Mila today has nothing to do with Avram's Bris Mila. I'm saying nothing just to make a point, right? Obviously it has a lot to do with Avram's Bris Mila. But the real reason that we do Mila is because Hashem says, at our Sinai, I want you to give yourself a Bris Mila. Happens to be, Hashem also said the same thing to Avraham. And the Torah, therefore, puts it in context. That's the point he's making here. Shah mitzvah b'sinai nemra, elashenichlava b'makoma. That the mitzvah is placed in its context so that we better understand it. But afal pichin yesh makom labal din lachlok. Ki ein lomod lahakel b'shabis v'lo heikel Hashem b'zeh ela avos v'lo kiblu ha-Torah. But yet, had the Torah written this part about Shabbos, Uvayom Hashmini, where we darshan from here, even on Shabbos, had we written that by Avraham, I could have very easily made the mistake to think that only by Avraham is Mila Docha Shabbos. Asher al kein tziva Hashem prad zeh labanim shekiblu haTorah. And therefore Hashem wants to emphasize that even for the descendants of Avraham, those of us who have received the Torah, that has warned us, mechalaleha mos yumas, guard the Shabbos. 12 times it says in the Torah, guard the Shabbos. Yet you still can perform a Mila on Shabbos. Okay? Od Nira, furthermore we could say, Ki min astam pashut hu, ki mitzvas Mila shenama parshas lach lecha la'avram avinu alav ha-shalom, ha-dvarim heim ki nisinasan mipi ha-gvura la'avram below tosef es dvarim behem achar matan Torah. Furthermore, we could say that, you know what, Avram really did know everything that we know. Hashem did tell Avraham explicitly that what? That Mila. Again, the first pshat he's saying is that Avraham wasn't necessarily informed about this per se. The second pshat is like, no, Avraham of course knew this halacha. The same way Avraham figured out Kol HaTorah Kula. U'me'ata ein makom sheyitzav Hashem la'Avraham l'mol afilu b'Shabbos, ki u'me'atzmo kein yase. Avraham didn't need to be told that you could do a Mila on Shabbos because Avraham knew on his own that he could do it. Why? Because Hagam Shemekuyim Kol HaTorah Kula Afal Pi Shalo Afal Pi Sorry Hagam Shemekayim Kol HaTorah Kula Afal Pi Chayin Yircha Shabbos Milafnei Mila. Even if you want to say that Avram kept Shabbos, Avram would have known on his own that his Mila is more important than Shabbos. Why? Because again, Mila was explicitly conveyed to him by God, and Shabbos was something that Avram figured out on his own. So therefore, that which Hashem tells you explicitly to do certainly overrides that which you figured out on your own. Ki mila hi mitzvah shenitztav ba, v'shabbos hi mitzvah shelo nitztav ba kol ikar. That mila was explicitly told him, and Shabbos was not. And therefore, im lo asa kein harei zeh chas v'shalom lo tov asa. So therefore, if he were to give up mila, imagine the scenario that Yitzchak Avinu had been born on Shabbos, which I don't know if that's true or not true, but had Yitzchak been born on Shabbos, Avram would have known for sure I'd give my son a bris mila. Shabbat something I took upon myself. It's optional. Mila, God told me, give a bris mila. So it was obvious to Avram Avinu that mila would be docha Shabbos. But again, we needed to be informed that what? That mila is docha Shabbos. Because again, from our worldview, we have a mitzvah called Shabbos. And therefore it's a chiddush for us to understand that Mila is Docha Shabbos. And then he writes a funny lashon. He says, had it written by Avram that Mila is Docha Shabbos, had the source for Mila Docha Shabbos been written by Avram, everyone would be busy trying to figure out why would Avram need a source for Mila Docha Shabbos? We'd be asking the opposite question. So he says, Hashem knew what he was doing when he wrote the Torah. It made a lot of sense. So to put in the Parshas Tazria and not to put it back by Avram Avinu. Okay? Next paragraph. V'nira l'seis tam. L'smichas uveyom ha'shmini imashal l'fam. So now let's put together the two pieces. So again, what have we learned so far? We learned a beautiful B'derech Remez explanation of Isha Ki Tazria. We've learned now an important general Torah halachic idea, which already finds basis in the writings of the Rishonim. How do we understand mitzvos prior to our Sinai that are repeated again after our Sinai? We really keep it because it was given again in our Sinai, but the Torah is just putting it into some type of context, writing it by Avram, or writing it by Yaakov Avinu's Gil HaNasha. And now he says, let's address the question, why is Mila connected to the 7 days of Tumah that the Isha has after having a child? What's the connection between the two? And give several answers. Some more simple and some a little more elaborate. He says, first and foremost, V'nira l'seis tam l'smicha sevyom ha'shmini ma'ashal afanav. Sheba l'seis tam la'akeva samila ad yom ha'shmini. The first answer, the first explanation, is trying to explain to us why did Hashem create such a system that Mila is on the 8th day. When the baby is born, why didn't God say the 5th day? Why didn't God say the 7th day? Why the 8th day? And the answer is, just read the psukim that came right before it. Because the mother is tameh for 7 days, and we want mommy to be at the bris milah, to be able to be in a good mood at the bris milah. We don't want her to feel that there's the weightiness of tumah upon her on such a festive occasion. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, why don't we command to give bris milah immediately? Like we do find when a person acquires an eved, there you give him a bris milah right away. So why here do we have to wait 8 days? Why is there a process of waiting to the 8th day? So that's the smicha sapsukim. V'tama shiva yamim uvayom ha'shmini bris milah. Why? Lomar ki latam zehu she'ikev ha'milah. The reason we delay the milah to the 8th day is because the mother is tamei for 7 days. And that's what the Gemara seems to hint to in Maseches Nidan, Daf Lamed Aleph. Kedei shelo yihiyu kol ha'olam smeichim va'aviv v'imo atzevim. That it shouldn't be a situation where all the relatives and all the friends are getting together to celebrate this festive occasion of the birth of this child, and the parents themselves are tamei. That this woman is in a state of tumah. That the mother and father are atzevim, that they're feeling sad, right? Because of the tumah that's upon her at such a festive time. Okay, so that's explanation number one. The 7 days of tumah set up the milah for the 8th day. The Chazal amru bezel shonam lama tinok nimo leches. Then Chazal have a further explanation. Why does the baby get a bris milah on the 8th day? Shekana Hashem rachamim alav ad shiyeh bo kalach. Hashem says, let's wait 8 days until he has strength. Seriously, an 8-day-old baby is so much stronger than day one? Now scientifically, the answer is yes. There's unbelievable studies about the body's ability to adjust over the course of that first week. But that's what Chazal say. The baby, we have rachmanis on the baby that it should have strength. Just like you don't give a milah to a child till the 8th day, you can't shecht an animal from till its 8th day. That the karban can only be brought from the 8th day and on. So he says, what does that mean? Does the baby really get that much? Again, modern science would tell us yes. There is an identifiable change in the health status of the child from day one to day eight, in terms of its ability for even the blood to congeal properly after performing the delicate procedure called Mila. So yes, there is what to say in terms of the pure medical understanding of waiting till the 8th day. But he says, you know what it really means? You know why we wait 8 days? V'tzarech l'das mi gila sod zeh ki b'ches yamim yeh bo koach lo pachos v'lo yosef. Where does the secret of the 8th day come from? That what? By the 8th day you have just the right amount of strength to have a bris milah, not before, not after. Who revealed such a secret? So you can say, God himself revealed the secret. What do you mean? Hashem wrote it in the Torah. What's the meaning behind this? Again, is it just physical strength that the child gains in those first few days of life, which is also true? Or is it something more? So he says it's something more. You know what it is? We want to make sure that this baby has a Shabbos before he comes to bris milah. We want to create a scenario by which this baby must experience Shabbos. Because as we learned in Parshas Bereishis, as we learned in Parshas Yisro, as we learned in Parshas Kisisa, as we learned in Parshas Vayakel, Shabbos gives life to the world. That the world is collapsing and Shabbos gives a spirit of energy to the world. That the world should be able to continue to exist. It's like the Zohar Kadosh says in Tazria and in Amor. Shehu kedei sheyavor alav Shabbos v'tagiehu nefesh hachiyunis hanishpas ba'olam b'yom haShabbos kiyadua. He needs to get a true spirit of life. This baby needs to encounter a Shabbos before it can have bris milah, because Shabbos gives life to the world. And then we have the confidence to perform. That it shows the greatness of Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he says the greatness of milah is that milah, even though it's such a dangerous procedure, but the mitzvah is so significant that Baruch Hashem, we all had a bris milah and we survived. Even though that might seem like a statistical oddity, it's so dangerous. Such a dangerous and delicate procedure, you would expect so many more Jewish babies to die from bris milah. And Baruch Hashem, obviously there are terribly tragic and rare cases where a child dies, right? But it's very much the yotzei min haklal. So Chassam Sofer writes in the tshuva, you see from here the greatness of bris milah. But from this piece of Aruch Chaim, we say the opposite. We say we see from here the greatness of Shabbos. Shabbos gives so much energy and life to a person that Shabbos can. It's almost like Hashem wants us to understand and to really appreciate how much life Shabbos gives us. So Hashem says, you know what? Let's have a Shabbos, and then let's put our life on the line with bris milah. And you're going to be fine. You know why? Because you had Shabbos. Shabbos gives you that much life that you'll survive a bris milah. That's the power of Shabbos. I think that's what we learned from this piece. V'oz yeh ben kayama. Then a person has the ability to exist, to last. V'hu sha'am ruzal koach ha'chiyuni. And that's what it means. The koach ha'chiyuni that Chazal is describing here, that the Zohar Kaddish is describing here. V'timsa sha'am ruzal shekodim shabbos Shabbos haya olam rofeh v'roed. Kevin shabbos Shabbos nischazek v'noch. The world was shaky until Shabbos came. The whole world was on the verge of collapse until Shabbos came, and the same thing is true, as we've pointed out, every single week. The world is falling apart, and Shabbos comes to give life to the world. It's a beautiful lashon from the Medrash. The world was shaking and trembling until Shabbos gave it stability. And that's what it means. Let's wait 8 days so the baby has koach. It's not only a biological reality. Right? It's a metaphysical, spiritual reality that after the eighth day, the child will for sure have experienced the Shabbos, and then we're prepared to give a bris milah. Okay? And then lastly, he says, Uvayom HaShmini, it could be the connection between bris milah, this child who's born, who's going to have a bris milah, and the Isha Kisazriya. He says it could be that if a person keeps the mitzvahs of Nida, so then he'll be Zoche to the mitzvah of milah. That a person will be blessed with children who will be able to perform this mitzvah upon. Okay. Now he goes on, in the next paragraph, and he says a really fundamental explanation of what bris milah is about. He quotes the famous Medrash that Tornus Rufus HaRasha came to Rabbi Akiva. You know, I can see the hour's decently late, so I'm going to start off by paraphrasing, and then I'll show you where we're going to pick up together. He quotes the Medrash that Rabbi Akiva was approached by Tornus Rufus HaRasha. And he asked Rabbi Akiva, whose actions are better, man or God? Right? So he said, what do you mean? Of course, I mean, God is God. What's the question? He said, well, then why does God make a person imperfect and that he has to have a bris milah?
Flour.
Right? And a person also takes, you know, grain and he produces bread. So in a certain sense, man's actions are even greater than God's. So what's the point of the mitzvos? If God really wants us to be mal and God is really perfect, so then why is it that way? Why didn't God make you perfect? So Rabbi Akiva says to Tornus Rufus HaRasha, he says, well, you know, Hashem gave us mitzvos in order to refine us. He quotes the pasuk. You can see the pasuk. Telem yudches imras Hashem tzrufa. The words of God are refining. So that's why God didn't make us born fully circumcised, if that's something that He values. Because He wants us to work on ourselves and to refine ourselves. It doesn't mean that we're better than God. It just means that in some way Hashem has allowed us to partner with Him, and through our efforts we're able to refine ourselves. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says Rabbi Akiva's answer is really the answer for Tornus Rufus HaRasha. But it's not the right answer for a Jew. Let's ask the question and answer it as Jews. Why did Hashem give us the mitzvah of Bris Milah? I'd like to ask an even more interesting question. If I had a Bris Milah, my father had a Bris Milah, and my grandfather had a Bris Milah, my great-grandfather had a Bris Milah, so why, and you're gonna, now again, you might say, medically you're going to say, it's not a silly question, right? But why is it that if I have a Bris Milah, why was my son born uncircumcised? If my father and grandfather and great-grandfather had a Bris Milah, why was I born uncircumcised? Why haven't we, so to speak, you know, grown out of it?
Evolution's a farce.
If we've removed it so many times, why does it keep coming back? That's his question. And if you'll say, that's a strange question. So he says, well, take, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born mahul. He was born without foreskin. So why did Moshe's children need a bris milah? We know for sure they did. That's that strange scene in the Torah. Right? In Shmos Perek Dalim. And Zipporah goes and... So if Moshe didn't have that, you know, gene of Arla, so why did his kids have Arla? And really, what's this whole thing about? It's a strange thing, milah. You know, we're used to it. It's an important mitzvah. It's a very holy mitzvah. It's the bris. But we, what's it about? Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu create such a system? So he says in the next paragraph, okay, look for the paragraph that begins, Achein. Do you have that? Achein askilcha b'davar ha'okim? Page Samachai. Let's understand Arla not just as a little piece of skin on top of the Makomila, but let's understand it much more broadly. What is the concept of Arla? What is the idea of Arla? So he says, I'll explain to you on a much deeper level. Achein askilcha b'dvar elokim lefi ma shakadam lanu midivrayim. Ki b'chinas ha'arla hi b'chinas hara. Arla is synonymous with evil, negativity. Call it Arla, call it klipos, call it averos, whatever you want to call it. It's some type of blockage between where a person's supposed to be and where he is. And therefore... He says, "Ki ma'isa arla hu yagid abchinas ne'alamos." Arla hints to us the fact that there are things that are what? That are concealed. That there are holy things that are covered over by unholy things that must be removed. The greatest example of that is the fact that I have a guf, which is arla compared to my neshama. My whole body is arla compared to my neshama. My whole body is covering over the essential me, which is my soul. Ki kol aguf eino el anartik lenefesh v'anartik yodia. As Masha Besocho. The body is just a vessel, some type of box that carries within it something much more. And the Nartik is Yodeya as Masha Besocho. The body knows what it has inside of it. It senses what's inside of it. V'amar Hashem ki Yisrael kishi yimlu, kishi yimolu. Ha'arla, hinei hei mushalalim b'chinas harasha arla simin la. So when we remove the arla, we're making a commitment to removing all evil and negativity from our personal lives and from the entire world. That's what it means to remove Arla. Masha ein kein umos ha'olam. Why did Hashem not give Bris Milah to the nations of the world? Twofold. Number one, He doesn't trust them the same way He trusts and empowers and places the responsibility, the achrayas, upon us to remove negativity from the world. The umos ha'olam, shekol nafshem hi v'chinas hara shehi ha'arla. Now again, you might find this to be very racist. Okay, but it might be true, whether it makes us uncomfortable or not, it might be true, that the Jewish people are of a different quality than the nations of the world. Now you'll say, well, that's what the Nazis held also, that they were superior race. Yeah, well, they use that to destroy people. And we hold ourselves to a higher standard. We use that to demand of ourselves to take a greater achrayas for the world. Right? We don't try to conquer the world. We don't force you to become Jewish. We don't impose our values upon you. We just try to be a light unto the nation. We try to shine upon you. And if you are so fortunate as to pick up on our way of living, you'll live a better, more redeemed life. Okay? So he says, therefore, a Jew is essentially, the essence of a Jew is that a Jew is circumcised. And the nature of a non-Jew, the nations of the world, is that they are uncircumcised. Right? And therefore, to indicate that, a Jew does an act indicating that I am shaykh to the world of removing Arla, and Hashem never made one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, that a non-Jew should remove Arla. Because they don't have to carry out the mission the way that we do. And that's what the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Ki kol ha-goyim areilim. It doesn't mean that the nations of the world happen to have a piece of foreskin. It means that the etzem, the concept of Arel, of uncircumcised applies to them. Okay? Again, it doesn't mean that we wouldn't want the nations of the world to help us. But we have to say, Im ein ani li mi li. If I'm not going to save the world, then who is? And again, you don't have to think too much about how crazy the world is today. And as a Jew, it's a huge achrayus. It's a huge achrayus to help the world get back to being normal. And better than normal. To be redeemed, to bring geula. V'davar yadua ki b'riyas Adam HaRishon ha'isa b'riya tama. B'b'chinas ha'kadusha m'shlalas mikol rav. When Adam HaRishon was created, there was no Arla. Adam HaRishon was created perfect. He was free from any ra, from any negativity. V'lezeh lo ha'isa b'tchunasu b'chinas ha'arla. That's why Adam HaRishon didn't need a bris milah. U'v'siva sachet mashach ba'arla. So, this is amazing. The Gemara says that after Adam sinned, he was moshech ba'arla. He pulled at his Arla. He drew upon himself Arla. What does that mean? What does that mean? What it means is that the concept of Arla started to emerge. Not Arla, again, only in the sense that a piece of skin grew over his male organ. What it means is that negativity started to cover over the world. He was Moshech Ba'arlaso. He brought Arla upon the world. V'ndoldalo b'chinas ha'arla. The concept of Arla emerged. V'gam nimshach li'zeh shalitas ha'tumah b'isha. And what was Chava's punishment? What, so to speak, the counterpart to the Arla of a male? Nida of a woman. Hence the smichas parshios of Isha kisazria, and she becomes tameh for 7 days, and on the seventh day she removed the Arla. Chava's punishment was Nida. Adam's punishment was Arla. He goes on and he says, the earth also received Arla. It used to be that what? That loaves of bread would grow on a tree. But now we have to plant, and then we have to grind, and we have to produce, and we have to bake, right? It's a long process from the time that you put a seed in the ground until you're able to actually eat a loaf of bread. It's many steps, 10 steps, according to the Gemara. And it follows the pattern of the 10 curses that Adam brought upon himself because of his bad behavior. So he says, maybe that's the answer. Why is it, if we keep cutting off our foreskin, so why does it keep growing back on our children? Why does a person who's a descendant of generation after generation after generation after generation of removing the Arla, why does it keep growing back? So he says a fascinating thing. He says, you know why? He says, because we eat the produce of the earth. And just like, again, Adam got his form of Arla, Chava had her type of impurity, right? The world received its type of impurity, klipos. Maybe once upon a time an orange grew without its peel. But now everything is in shells and peels and layers. It's all covered over. And it takes a lot more effort to get to the fruit, to get to the pre beneath the klipa. So he says, it could be that even though you circumcise yourself, but guess what? When you eat the produce of the earth, which is still uncircumcised, that is moly, that creates within you a connection to Arla, so that when your child is born, your child, once again, the Arla is back, and that child needs a bris milah. Very fascinating, very, very deep idea that he's saying here. And he says, therefore, the real answer to Rabbi Akiva and to Rabbi Rufus' discussion is that yes, there's still Arla in the world that needs to be fixed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that the fixing has to be our own. Hashem says, I made Adam Yashar, I made Adam without Arla, you did Averas, and now it's your job to fix it. And that's what we're still working on. We're working on it both in terms of the physical performance of the mitzvah of Mila, but in the much broader strokes, we're trying to what? We're trying to remove all the negativity from the world, and that is the mission and the life statement, so to speak, of the Yid in this world. Okay, turn the page. Let's finish up. Let's go to Yud Gimel Beis. Here's a very Chassidish Torah. Very deep, very holy. Rav Chaim HaKadosh says, on Adam ki yeh b'or b'saro. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis. We enter into the world of Tzara'as. Parshas Tazria. Many, many details of Tzara'as. Adam ki yeh b'or b'saro. When a person has on his flesh the sign of Tzara'as. Se'es, or Sapachas, or Beheres, different types of Tzara'as. So he says an amazing thing. Adam, we know, is a code word for a Jew. Tzara'as is unique to Klal Yisrael. And while on the one hand it seems like, wow, God, you're out to get us because you punish us more quickly, but it's also an expression of God's belief in us. Adam ki yeh b'or b'saro, perish al derech omer mzal. The Gemara says above Metziah, Atam Kriyan Adam, Ve'ein Umos Ha'olam Kriyan Adam. That Adam refers to a Jew. So we say to the Jew, Adam, Jew, holy Jew, Ki Yev or Bisaro Se'esa Sapachas, when you have on your flesh a sign of Tzara'as, what does it mean? She'ein Ha'umos Metamin Benegayim. The nations of the world do not have Tumas Negaim, they don't have Tzara'as. Umikan Ho'chacha, She'ein Goyim Metamin Benegayim. And the proof that non-Jews don't have Tzara'as is this Pasuk. Adam ki yeh b'or b'saro. As is found, he says in Maseches Negalim at the beginning of the 11th parak. Okay, so there's a halacha that Tzara'as applies to Jews and doesn't apply to non-Jews. Okay, but what does it mean? Why is that so? So look what he says. It's very beautiful. And it gives us belief in ourselves on those days where we're a little dirty on the outside, but we remind ourselves that we're pure on the inside. Shchora ani v'nava, like we said in Shir HaShirim and Pesach. I'm blackened on the outside, but I'm beautiful nonetheless. So look what he says. Va'omro ki yeh be'or b'saro modiyah ha'kasuv she'ein tumas tzara'as be'ish ha'yisraeli ela be'or b'saro b'lo b'fnim. The tzara'as, the tumah that appears upon a Jew is what? Be'or b'saro. It's only on his outer flesh. It's on his skin. It doesn't penetrate to his insides. We're sometimes making really bad choices on the surface, but the inner core of every yid is Kodesh Kadashim. Ki ha'umos b'chinas nafsham atzmi b'chinas ha'tzara'as u'mina. The nations of the world don't have tzara'as on their skin, because he says the nations of the world, their whole thing is tzara'as. Their whole thing is arla. But a Jew says there's two parts to me. Yes, there's a part of me that's like everyone else. I'm a regular human being who's not expected to accomplish very much. Maybe that's my body. But my neshama, it's a totally different thing. So we remind the Jew, when he does one of the many averos that can bring tzara'as, it's not only Lashon Hara. We say to this Jew, realize, Yish Yisraeli, that this tzara'as is only b'besaro v'lo b'fnim, it's only on the surface. It's not on your insides. U'v'nefesh Yisrael b'pago bam l'tzara achir asher yachta yir shomar tzara'as b'or basar v'dafka b'oro v'lo b'besaro v'ein tzara'ach lomar b'pnimiyuso. It's on the skin of his flesh. It's on the outer surface of his flesh. It doesn't penetrate into his flesh, and it certainly doesn't penetrate to that world beneath one's flesh, namely one's neshama. The essence of a Jew is always pure. It can't become tamei. I want to just add a comment from the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer in this week's parasha says a very similar thing, and he connects it back to Bris Mila. Because what does it say by Mila? Yimol bisar arlasa. And when it comes to Mila, it says you should circumcise your flesh. Why does it say circumcise your flesh? Says the Chassam Sofer. When the Torah talks about in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, how if you buy an Eved, you have to give him a Bris Mila, it says you should circumcise him, but it doesn't say circumcise his flesh. It says circumcise him. There's other places where the Torah talks about circumcising non-Jews who are living amongst Jews or in the context of some type of working for Jews or owned by Jews in a certain way. And when it talks about the circumcision of a non-Jew who needs to be circumcised because of his relationship with the Jews, it just says circumcise him. It doesn't say circumcise his flesh. By a Jew it says circumcise his flesh. Why? Says the Chassam Sofer in the Torah Moshe, this week's Parsha. Abalafi anias daiti. Romez kan di Yisrael arel nikra mol, v'goy mol nikra arel. That a circumcised, an uncircumcised Jew is considered circumcised, and a circumcised non-Jew is still considered uncircumcised. What does that mean? Di Yisrael eno ela arel basar, avalibo mahu l'Hashem. Why does the pasuk say on the eighth day circumcise your flesh? Because your neshama is already circumcised. Your neshama is already pure. Al-Kain Hocha Gaba Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Yimol Basar Arlasa. She'inu Mol El Basara. Abalhu Ba'atzmuso Nimol Va'omidho. But a Jew, even before you have that Bris Mila on the eighth day, is essentially circumcised. So the same part that the Rechaim HaKadosh here is saying by Tzara'as, the Chassam Sofer says by Mila. Again, what was the Rechaim's part? Adam kiya b'or b'saro. Where does saras appear? Only on the skin of one's flesh. It doesn't even appear in the flesh, and it certainly doesn't appear in these pneumias beneath the flesh. Says the Chassam Sofer, a similar idea, that on the eighth day circumcise your flesh. The flesh, the body, needs to be circumcised. But the neshama, the essential part of who you are, is already prepared to stand before HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, last but not least, let's do one last piece. I mentioned last night that there's a really important piece in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Tazria, in the Or HaChaim, about how did Moshe Rabbeinu, let's change that word from how to what. What did Moshe Rabbeinu know about the Torah that we're studying today? Did Moshe know everything? There's a Maimar Chazal that makes it sound like Moshe knew everything that ever would be. And yet we also know there's a Gemara that says Moshe was sitting in Rabbi Akiva's base medrash and had no clue how to follow the shir. Yeah? So did Moshe Rabbeinu know every gematria that Rabbi Rubenstein would share? Or did Moshe Rabbeinu not know that? Would Moshe Rabbeinu look at the Svarim we learned and say, what are these Svarim? I never heard of this. Would Moshe Rabbeinu understand the Or HaChaim HaKadosh? Did he know these ideas? Did he know the Chassam Sofer? Did Moshe Rabbeinu know what we're learning today? Again, one Maimar Chazal implies yes, one Maimar Chazal implies he can't follow. And it's an important question that many, many Svarim have recognized and tried to deal with. So if you turn to Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed Zayin, and just look in the second paragraph where it says Vayikra Rabba. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed Zayin, where it says Vayikra Rabba Parsha Chav Beis. You see that? Who's got it?
It's on the bottom of Ayin
Hay. Like, okay, the bottom of Ayin Hay. Right before it says Vayikra Rabba, it says Vereisi Liyashiv. You see that?
Yeah. Like 3/4 down
the
first column.
Yeah, Chaver, you got it?
Last word on the one.
Okay, Vereisi Liyashiv Ma'amari Chazal. On the one hand, we have a medrash in Vayikra Rabba. Shelo haya davar shelo nimsar leMoshe b'Sinai. There was nothing that Moshe didn't know about at Har Sinai. Va'afilu ma'ase talmid vasik osi lechadesh. Even what a good student in the future, thousands of years later, would be mechadesh. Moshe Rabbeinu knew about it. He knew everything we would ever say. Yeah, it's pretty cool, amazing. And yet, at the same time, va'amru b'makom acher. Yet we know elsewhere. It's a Gemara in Menachos. It's a Medrash. Ki Rabbi Akiva hayadorish mashalo yada Moshe. That Rabbi Akiva was darshaning the crowns on top of the letters, and Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea what was going on. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't follow Rabbi Akiva's shir, and he was depressed by that until he heard them say Halacha Moshe Misina, and he said, they still remember me. That their Torah is connected to my Torah. It's all one Torah. So did he know it or did he not know it? What's going on? So he explains as follows. He says, "V'chein kama ma'amarim shedom lezeh." There are other ma'amari chazal that are similar to this. Again, different schools of thought and chazal pushing us in opposite directions. Can they be reconciled? The answer is yes. V'nira ki yishuv ha'ma'amarim ho. Perhaps the resolution of this matter is as follows. And this is, again, this is a basic yediya in Torah. How to resolve this. What did Moshe Rabbeinu know? When we have chidushim, are they really chidushim? And if Moshe knew them already, in what sense is Rabbi Akiva Eger's chidushim Rabbi Akiva Eger's? And what sense is the Degel Machaneh Ephraim's chidush the Degel Machaneh Ephraim's chidush? Right? How do we know who's held accountable or responsible for anything that anyone says? When Reish Lakish has a teaching in Shas, is that Reish Lakish or is Moshe Rabbeinu? Everything's Moshe Rabbeinu, or everything's God. Hashem told everything to God. Hashem told everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. So everything should say Amar Hashem Yisparach. Right? Every Tana or Amor in the Gemara, we should take out all their names and just put God's name there. Just say, right? Amar Hashem. Or Hashem Amar. Yeah?
So I think I once heard that why a lot of people, when they say like Kedushim for Banim, say they brought it down. They just say that it's not, they're not saying it. They're like,
why did Moshe not understand Rabbi Akiva's base measures though? I mean, you're right. If Moshe knew everything in Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe didn't transmit everything, and then things would be brought down step by step throughout the generation. So why did Moshe not chap what was going on in Rabbi Akiva's base medrash? But I agree. Part of it is about bringing it down and revealing it to the world. Moshe may have known it, right? But it wasn't yet made public knowledge yet. So that's an important point. But it doesn't resolve the question that Moshe wasn't able to understand certain things from the future. If he knew everything, why couldn't he understand things in the future? So the Chaim says, it's more of a pshat answer, but it's an important approach. Ki hein emes shekol davar Torah nemar lemoshe. Yes, Moshe knew everything. Ve'ein chacham yachol ledas yosur masha yad Moshe. And you will never know more about any topic in Torah than Moshe, the great teacher of Klal Yisrael, knew about Torah. Ve'agam shetitzarif kol doros Yisrael miyom matan Torah, adjitamale ha'ariz deya, ein chidu shalo yadu Moshe. You can take from the beginning of time, all the way until Malah Ha'ariz deya Hashem, till the revelation of Mashiach. And you will not find any bit of Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was not aware of. However, aval ha'hefrish hu, you may not like this answer, may not fully understand how that works, what he's about to say, but let's hear what he says. The difference is the following. Aval ha'hefrish hu ki Moshe nasan lo Hashem Torah shebichsav v'Torah shebaal peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe all of the information. V'nei ha'adon baruch hu b'chach masal yizbarach Rashim b'Torah shebichsav kol Torah shebaal peh she'amar l'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put all of the oral tradition that he gave over to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem put it all into Torah shebichsav. Hashem put every idea hinted to in Torah shebichsav. Last night when we were learning a piece about Lag BaOmer from the Shemin Rosh, so we quoted a Maimer Chazal in Tanis Daf Tes. Leka midi de lo remiza be'oraisa. There is nothing that is not hinted to in the Torah itself. Which means every single event of history, every single idea that would ever emerge, E equals MC squared is in Torah. Everything's in Torah. Every idea, right, that would emerge in this world is found in the Torah. However, Moshe knew all of them. However, Moshe didn't necessarily know exactly how to read all of his Torah Shebaal Peh knowledge into Torah Shebichsav. Avalohu dia la Moshe kol mashanasan lo baal peh heichan hu ramas b'Torah Shebichsav. Moshe was not taught how to see all of Torah Shebaal Peh in Torah Shebichsav. So in terms of the facts, in terms of the details, in terms of the ideas, he had it all. In terms of exactly how to extrapolate and to extract those ideas from the text of the Chumash itself, that much wasn't clear to him. The style of extracting the idea from a pasuk, that maybe he didn't have. Again, the essential idea he had. There's no essential idea in Torah that he didn't have. But the way in which we would express it, the language with which we would express it, the way that we would connect it to the pasuk, to find this idea, that, oh yeah, this idea is found in this pasuk. I never saw that in that pasuk in Lech Lecha. I didn't realize that idea was found in Lech Lecha. I knew the idea, but I didn't know that it's found specifically in this place in Torah Shebichsav. V'zohi avodas b'nei Yisrael amelei Torah. L'labish ha'alachos shenemru l'moshe v'sinai v'asodos v'adrashos kulan yidnu lehem makum Torah Shebichsav. Our job, what the Vilna Gaon spent the last 10 years of his life doing, to the exclusion of basically everything else, is sitting with a chumash and showing how all of his Torah knowledge can be found in the text of the Torah itself. To plug all of Gemara back into chumash, to plug all of the Zohar back into chumash, to plug every idea back into the words of Hashem himself. And that is the job of those who are a melee Torah. It's a nice vart for us to end on from the Rechaim HaKadosh in these days of Sfira Somer, where we're working on ourselves, preparing ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. And we have to take achrayas. There's Torah ideas that, yes, they exist in the broadest sense, but like Jojo said, it's our job to bring it down. It's our job to show Moshe Rabbeinu where this idea expresses itself in the Torah, and only we have the eyes to see things that Moshe couldn't see in that way. And that's a huge opportunity. So the Tanaim came along, and they said all their drashos, Torah's Kohanim, and the Sifrei, v'chol drashosam haksuvim, b'ksuvim, einim ela al pi ha'alachos, they knew the laws transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were making the connections. They were finding how this idea is expressed in this pasuk. V'elbishom b'Torah Hashem t'mima shebichsav. And they were showing how it's found in the text of the Torah itself. V'achareyem ba'ad yom zo, hi avodas hakodesh b'nei Torah. This is our job. To look at a pasuk in Chumash. I was walking this past Shabbos and I ran into one of the local rabbanim in my community And he said to me, Moshe Tzvi, what are you going to darshan on next Shabbos? Tazria Mitzvah, what are you going to talk about? What could you possibly talk about? It's like, what are you going to darshan? It's all these laws about Tzaraas. It's so irrelevant to us. Right? He wasn't being obviously scornful. He was just saying, like, it's very hard to relate to. Seis and Baheres and Sapachas. And I mean, it's interesting, like, to know what once was, but it seems so detached from our reality. But our job is to go back to these psukim and to find messages that are relevant to us. And to read it back into the text. And that's what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh is saying. To take the ideas of our world and to show how every bit of it is found in our psukim. In these psukim that are beyond time. Again, v'achareim v'arayom hazeh, zo, hi avodas hakodesh b'nei Torah, l'dayek hamikros, u'liyashem al pi ma'amarim shem Torah shu'al peh. To take whatever oral traditions we have and to show how every bit of it is found in Torah. It's found in terms of linking words, gzeira shava. It's found in terms of the DNA, the gematria words. To find out, to show how every concept is hidden within. V'zohi avodas haTorah nikreis eretz hachayim. V'inyan zeh lo nimsar l'moshe kula das kol Torah shu'al peh heichani kula ramuzu b'Torah shu'al. Moshe did not know how everything is found in Torah shu'al peh. He did not know, like Rabbi Akiva, he says here, how to read the crowns on top of the Torah. But in terms of the general idea, Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything. So again, on the one hand, we have to humbly stand before our great teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu, who knew infinitely more than we could ever know. And at the same time, we have to feel empowered that I can have a chiddush in Torah. I can express an idea in Torah that Moshe obviously had a general sense about, but I can bring it down in a very specific way. It's an amazing opportunity. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. Mitzvah tomorrow we'll do Parshas Mitzorah. But we should be zocha to take these complex parshios and see them with tremendous Nehora Ma'alia, elevated vision. Shkoyach.